Terra Fugia announces its flying car has now flown. The Machinists Union calls for the heads of AIG execs. And could Eclipse wind up in China? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 19th, 2009. This'll teach you to laugh at MIT grads with wild-sounding ideas. Terra Fugia yesterday released news and video of the first flight of its flying car, the Transition Rotable Aircraft Proof of Concept. The company says the first flight took place March 5th on runway 17 at Plattsburgh International Airport in upstate New York. U.S. Air Force retired Colonel Phil Mateer was at the controls. The company's video shows the plane getting airborne for a roughly 25-second crow hop on the 11,758-foot runway. While the Transition claims a stall speed of 45 knots, company president Dr. Carl Dietrich says the long wheelbase and CG compromises that were required for the road result in a takeoff rotation speed of 70 knots and a 1,500-foot takeoff run. The company says Transition will cruise up to 450 miles at 115 miles an hour, can drive at highway speeds on the road, and fits in a standard household garage. The vehicle uses front-wheel drive on the road and a pusher prop for flight. Both modes are powered by unleaded gasoline from a regular gas station. Terra Fugia is Latin for escape from land. It will be priced at just under $200,000. Dietrich says they're still shooting for first deliveries sometime next year, although a production prototype still has to be built and tested. Find more details at www.aero-news.net. And see our interview with Dietrich, dated January 30th, in the archives of aero-tv.net. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers has joined the strident chorus calling for criminal charges against AIG executives who accept retention bonuses, which are this week's scandal in Washington, D.C. IAM President Tom Buffenbarger rejects the claims that the bonuses are required under binding contracts. Quote, gross incompetence is but one of the grounds to void those contracts, unquote. On Monday, fresh reports that AIG would pay $165 million in bonuses to executives prompted federal lawmakers to lash out, including threats to impose a special income tax to recover the money. The Obama administration has been embarrassed after a promise to pursue every legal avenue to block the bonuses was followed by revelations that the terms of the executive contracts, including the imminent bonuses, were in AIG's government regulatory filings last November. In fact, the administration's bailout plan has a specific provision protecting bonuses contracted before February 11th of this year. But getting back to the IAM, Buffenbarger asks rhetorically why anyone would pay those bonuses. Quote, the answer is obvious. Only by buying their executive silence can AIG ever hope to avoid criminal prosecution for fraud, conspiracy, and suborning perjury, unquote. Buffenbarger did stop short of calling for the execs to commit hara-kiri, as Iowa Senator Charles Grassley did on Monday. The bidding for the assets of defunct Eclipse Aviation may be attracting a new bidder. The Albuquerque Journal reports Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China, an offshoot of the consolidation of former AVIC 1 and AVIC 2 aerospace companies, has expressed interest in submitting a bid. It's thought the Eclipse 500's small Pratt & Whitney Canada PW610F turbofans are what the Chinese really want, and that may arouse national security concerns, although Eclipse was cleared to build a plant in Russia. A Cessna 180, piloted by experienced mountain flyer Sparky Imussen, is missing. The Helena Independent Record reports the author of several books on mountain flying disappeared about 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time on Tuesday, over rugged terrain about 18 miles northwest of Bozeman. He's believed to have been the only person on board. Crews were reported searching on the east slope of the Elkhorn Mountains. Check back for updates as we get them at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, the Hudson River's Good Samaritan lawyers up. Boeing introduces the F-15 Silent Eagle, and financiers predict Boeing and Airbus will cut jet production. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 19th. I'm Paul Plack. New York Waterway, an operator of commercial ferry boats on the Hudson River, was widely praised for rescuing many of the 155 passengers from U.S. Airways Flight 1549 on January 15th. The company opened its facilities to serve as emergency headquarters for rescuers and investigators, and as triage centers for the survivors. It paid employees overtime to help out, and supported the investigation with 14 of its boats over the 48 hours following the ditching. U.S. Coast Guard Captain Robert O'Brien calls the company, quote, "the good Samaritan that responds to any emergency on the water," unquote. Crane's New York Business reports New York Waterways is now preparing to sue U.S. Airways for financial damages stemming from the incident. In addition to its costs in support of the rescue and investigation, the company notes the ditching shut down the river traffic on which it depends. New York Waterways CEO Arthur Imperatore Sr. calls his company embattled. Quote, "the question is whether we can survive," unquote. Passenger revenue has been declining since last fall, and tight credit markets threaten the financing needed to renew its lease on its equipment in September. Imperatore, who is 83 years old, has said he'd really like a government agency to acknowledge that his ferries are really part of the Metro's mass transit assets and just take over the operation. U.S. Airways so far has declined comment. Boeing Integrated Defense Systems unveiled the F-15 Silent Eagle on Tuesday. The new configuration is designed to meet the future needs of international customers and be more competitive with Lockheed Martin's F-22 Raptor and F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. Mark Bass, Boeing's F-15 program VP, says, quote, "the F-15 Silent Eagle is designed for cost-effective stealth technologies as well as for large and diverse weapons payloads. The innovative Silent Eagle is a balanced, affordable approach designed to meet future survivability needs," unquote. Improvements include stealth coatings and treatments and improved aerodynamics. The plane will be able to carry air-to-air missiles and air-to-ground weapons internally. Boeing has completed a conceptual prototype of the CFT internal carriage concept and plans to flight test a prototype by the first quarter of next year, including a live missile launch. An international aerospace development partner may be sought. The 2009 International Society of Transport Aircraft Traders wrapped up its annual conference in Scottsdale, Arizona Tuesday. An audience of airline buyers, sellers, and lessors heard both Boeing and Airbus predict that they'll be able to meet jet production projections for 2009 and deliver a total of 965 airplanes. Many financiers dismissed the prediction as unrealistic in the current credit environment. Bertrand Grabowski of Germany's DVB Bank, a major European financier of airplanes, told the Seattle Times the only question is how much and how soon both Airbus and Boeing will cut production. Quote, "they will have to do it. It's a matter of fact," unquote. Even economist Adam Pilarski of Avitas had his figurative fingers crossed when he partially agreed with the manufacturers, after acknowledging this year's deliveries are probably safe, and in the long run the industry will resume its growth. He followed up by predicting that in 2011, deliveries will, quote, "fall off a cliff. The crash has to happen, and it will be severe," unquote. Pilarski predicts 2011 combined deliveries for Boeing and Airbus will be down 30% from current levels, totaling just 666 planes. You may have been wondering, when it comes to a la carte fees on airline flights, what could be left to charge for? Airlines seem to have found just about every service we've taken for granted for years, broken it out as a separate fee, and now they're raising those fees. As we told you yesterday, United Airlines has raised its fee for pets in the cabin to $350 and charges $500 for pets in the cargo hold. As the carriers approach what may be the theoretical limit of what travelers will put up with, Business Travel Coalition Chairman Kevin Mitchell tells Reuters the next tactic by cash-strapped airlines will be selling you things you never thought about buying on an airplane. Quote, they're going to use the cabin for all manner of merchandising. You have a captive audience, unquote. Airline consultant Andrew Watterson calls it rebundling. He says we'll see more high-quality meals, day passes to airport lounges, and the option to purchase frequent flyer miles. Quote, unbundling was the trend, and that did create lots of value in the airlines. The future is rebundling, unquote. Still ahead, the Teamsters want to strike Amerijet. Corporate Angel Network marks 31,000 flights. And the Challenger Center could not be prouder of STS-119. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 19th. I'm Paul Platt. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters has asked the National Mediation Board to release it from mediation with Amerijet International Incorporated and to push for binding arbitration in an effort to reach a collective bargaining agreement. If the board releases the parties from mediation and either one refuses to accept binding arbitration, then a strike would be legal after a 30-day cooling-off period. Amerijet is a South Florida cargo carrier, two-thirds owned by Miami's HIG Capital. Amerijet serves the Caribbean and Latin America and recently announced plans to bring service to Asia and the Middle East. Amerijet and the Teamsters have been attempting to reach agreement for nearly 5 years. The company announced last week it was unilaterally cutting the employees' wages 10% and eliminating their 401k matching contributions. The Teamsters have declared the two sides an impasse. Winston Churchill, the grandson of Sir Winston Churchill, and Susan Polin, a fellow cancer patient, recently flew home to Florida from treatment at MD Anderson Hospital in Houston, Texas, on Corporate Angel Network's 31,000th and 31,001st patient flights. Polin, who was exhausted from chemo, commented, quote, I was in no condition to go through the ordeal of flying commercially, which can be very painful after treatment. I'm so grateful to Corporate Angel Network for this flight, unquote. Churchill was at one time a volunteer pilot in the St. John's Ambulance Air Wing, providing volunteer air service for the rapid transport of organs. He commented, quote, It gave me great pleasure to help kidney patients in the past, and in the same way, Corporate Angel Network is an excellent way to help cancer patients who understandably are stressed by making their lives a whole lot easier, unquote. Corporate Angel Network is a public charity that arranges free flights for cancer patients to treatment using empty seats on business aircraft. Since its founding 27 years ago, CAN has grown to over 500 participating corporations, 5 paid staff, and a team of 50 part-time volunteers, all working to provide nearly 3,000 patient flights every year. America's first teacher in space, Krista McAuliffe, met a tragic end aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger. For 2 decades, NASA was reluctant to risk sending teachers on space missions again. But today, the Challenger Center for Space Science Education looks on proudly as Krista's dreams are being fulfilled by former science and math teachers Joe Acaba and Ricky Arnold, who are now officially educator astronauts in orbit around the Earth. Acaba will conduct 2 spacewalks, helping with the installation of components related to the completion of the station's solar array. Arnold will help install equipment provided by the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. In the 23 years since its founding, the network of over 50 Challenger Learning Centers proudly claims to have collectively engaged and inspired over 8 million students, taking them on simulated space missions to Earth orbit, the Moon, Mars, and beyond. And finally today, Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport is the busiest airport in the U.S. It's operated by the city of Atlanta, and at times, there can be lines at ticketing, security, and baggage claim. The Augusta Chronicle reports State Representative Bob Smith Tuesday submitted a bill which would see the state take over operation of the airport from the city, supposedly to bring about better customer service. But is it really that, or is it just an attempt to grab the revenue generated by the airport? A number of lawmakers have openly questioned Smith's true motives. Airport manager Ben DaCosta reminds lawmakers ATL was rated the most efficient large airport in the U.S. in 2008, that landing costs per passenger were $1.25 versus $6 at some New York airports, and that a survey shows 71% of passengers rated their experience with the airport as outstanding. There's no real chance for the bill to be passed this year, but debate resumes today. This one's going to be fun to watch. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, part three of Lessons from Flight 1549 and the congressional testimony of air traffic controller Patrick Harden. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.